DHZ, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Wait for it. Wait for it. You know what's coming, Heath.
Somebody love us.
That's right. Oh, man, we love you too. Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. To my right, Heath Elsonson. To my left,
hello.
Tomas Mauricio.
Here.
I'm Dave Romero. And for the next hour, no bonus coverage this week. No game, you don't get the bonus coverage. We're going to be talking more Saints and useless information anyone needs to know. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do Sports Talk 97.7 BS and Beer style. Heath, welcome, man. What's going on? How you doing? Another week? You excited?
I'm excited, Dave. Another week to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tomas, there was no game last week. I can only imagine maybe you went to the pool or something like that, man. Maybe, you know, did some kind of golf or what is it? Tell me what you did.
Well, I took my private jet down to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, I know how you roll like that. Anyway.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
I've been getting feedback. I guess some people are upset with the whole Don Bobo thing because while we got the win, Tomas, we got the win, we had a couple injuries. We had injuries to Zach Strief, and then we also had Anzalone got hurt. Done. Looks like he's on IR. So I'm thinking that this week we're going to have to sacrifice a chicken. And maybe we can get the win, but instead of hurting our players, what we'll do is sacrifice the chicken, and the chicken – could be where the injuries go. You know what I'm saying? I'm new at this stuff. You got to help me out.
I hear you, but, you know, maybe we sacrificed Adrian Peterson. Maybe that'll take care of it.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. You know, maybe that's the sacrifice we needed, huh, Heath?
Yeah, I hope so. Because when Don Bobo brought me back, I was afraid that I was going to have to be the sacrifice.
you were kind of sick that one time.
I was, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe Don Bobo is what brought you back healthy, and sometimes you got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah, well, that's what Lil Dice said. He said, Don Bobo brought me back, and I said he put the gree-gree on me, but I was afraid y'all might throw me up on that table.
You never know.
Sacrifice me. Yeah. You know, you never know.
You never know what we have to do to get the win. You got to make those kind of sacrifices. Be a team player.
Yeah, I'll take one for the team, yep.
Take one for the team. Well, I tell you what, unless you have any prayers, Tomas, any homage, I don't think I'm looking at my GoPayPal me account, and there's no money there. I don't think
what?
That
the, There's yeah, no I'm, money. I, what do you mean? What are these people doing?
I don't know. But
Don Bobo not happy.
No, Don Bobo is not happy. And listen, I got some bills to pay because, you know, we have our administrative costs that we have to cover for Don Bobo.
Yeah, so, I understand that. Somehow Heath and I don't get part of that administrative fee. Do we?
Well, it's because there's nothing in there. I mean, I hope y'all don't expect me to cover it.
Well, yeah, you're the man.
Well, the good news is I ain't doing no administrating, so, you know,
there you go. Yeah, you got nothing, right?
Got nothing.
All right, well, let's get this show started.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
That's right. So now, as we do every week, we have to go over to pick 'em contest. You know, guys, I feel like we haven't really been explaining to it. Now, it's a little bit too late for everybody to join. We have a contest that we do every year. This year, I think, what do we have, Tomas, like 70 people in it this year for the pick 'em contest?
Yeah, at least. Because
I know I'm like
78.
Yeah, because I'm like, I knew it was somewhere in the 70s because that's where
You're
I'm
78.
At.
Yeah, you're number 78.
There's like $150. Is that what we said it was? $150 this year?
I think that's what you said.
Yeah, I don't have my I don't have
Ethan
my.
Ethan, I already split that. We already know what we spent.
Yeah, they already got that spent. That money spent. Right. Yeah, but what we like to do is, Tomas, why don't you go over this week's leaderboard? Whoever did really well this week.
All right. Well, you want this week's or you want the standings in general?
Well, usually we do a little bit both. I mean, if you don't feel like going.
Let me give you the overall. How about that? Up at the top of the heap, of course, is Little Dice with 30.
Look at Little Dice.
Yeah, man, he pulled it back up after that first miserable week.
Yeah.
Doing pretty good. We got Rob 22278. We got another 7 and 9. Jagrove, All About Saints 9. Orion, D Bridge, Lord. Lord Boudreau. Boudreau, yeah. Lord Boudreau.
That's French.
No, that's French. Oui. touchdown there. St. Craft Toots. And that's the top 10.
There you go. Top 10.
Cut up at 26, yeah. Well, and I don't see you, Dave.
No, I don't know. Maybe if there's a glitch in the software or something. I didn't see
Dave
myself.
Dave is in 44.
Well, 44. There you go, Dave.
I feel like I was worse than that because I'm ready to retire. I'm ready to retire from Pick'em.
You got me beat. I'm in 67th out of 78 teams.
He got nothing. I'm thinking
number 18.
We got to come up with another segment. I don't know. Maybe it could be like trivia or something because the Pick'em just isn't working for me.
Well, I'm so sorry, brother. It's working for me. I'm at 18.
18 is the number. Okay, so we all supposed to jump behind you and start clapping?
That's right.
Yeah.
18 is perfect because my birthday's on the 18th, and I'm number 18 on the list. So, hey.
It all works out for you.
That's right.
Man, we had some interesting stuff go on this week. Adrian Peterson, he's moving on down the road. I think that's something that both Heath and Tomas, I think you both guys wanted that to happen. You were thinking that would be the best thing for the team.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it needed to happen. It's good for both sides.
And we haven't seen an injury report yet, so we're going to wait to see if Tomas – we're not going to have a Tomas rant this week, but we're going to wait to see if Tomas's ears get all red and his blood pressure goes up. We have to wait to see if Teron Armstead is going to play, because if he doesn't play this week – we talked about it in our last show. If he doesn't play this week, then now what we're looking at is – why in the world did they take him off the PUP?
As they say in my rant, it's going to blow!
It's going to blow. It's going to be Tomas that blows. I can tell you that much. Wait, I'm sorry. Maybe I misspoke there. Tomas is going to get upset.
There you go.
Tomas will be upset.
Yeah.
I'll let you get away with it for right now.
All right, so we have a lot to talk about. First of all, we want to talk about Matthew Stafford and the fact that he looked pretty banged up after that game last week.
He looked like a mummy.
We talked to our good friend Gary. He had some insight about that Stafford didn't come out for a press conference, which was the first time. And a lot of times he's been beat up, and he's always come out for the press conference. So there's something. And something that we don't normally talk about, but I think it's interesting enough, is the whole come out and the protest and taking a knee. It looks like the NFL has taken a stance on that, and there's some deliberation going on that we're going to get into. And then also, Jerry Jones may have gotten himself in trouble. Is that right, Tomas? Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Apparently, he's going to be he's being sued by the Players Union with regard to the statement that he made about if a player didn't stand that he was going to – they wouldn't be playing for Dallas.
Wow. That's interesting. Man, this is just such a huge can of worms, and now it's – if you're looking at it from a football perspective, now it kind of transcends politics, because now we're not just talking politics. We're talking about our game of football and the way we look at things and the way we do things and maybe some harm that comes to the game, because, like, the ratings have been down. Fans are turning the TVs off. And, look, I don't know about all these – different guys who have different ideas of what things should be, but when I start worrying about it is when my game that I love starts getting affected, and then we're going to have to talk about what we think the possibilities might be in the future and how it could negatively affect the game, man, because I don't want to see it go anywhere. So I tell you what, we got to hit the break. We'll be back. 97.7 Sports Talk, got lots of stuff to talk about. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk, Rustin and Monroe. You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast crew. It's Dave Romero. It's Heath Elson-San. It's Tomas Mauricio. Listen, guys, we have so much to talk about and a short time to do it. So the first thing I want to talk about real quick is Matthew Stafford. He got beat up. He's given up, I think Detroit's given up 12 sacks in the last two games. And you're looking at a Detroit team and Matthew Stafford, who's paying the price for it. Interestingly enough, easy for me to say, I think that the Saints have an opportunity to take a quarterback who's pretty athletic, but right now is beat up, so he's going to be a standing – he's going to be a statue in the pocket. I think that we have an opportunity here.
Yeah. I mean, you said he's been sacked 12 times the last two, and even half dozen each game. And last week, this past game, he was obviously hurt. He was wrapped everywhere. You know, like you said, he looked more like a mummy than a man. When he came out of after that mysterious disappearing act at the press conference and all, Gary said he had a big, huge, baggy shirt on, and like they were hiding something else.
And then he probably has bruised ribs.
I said. He was probably wrapped around his ribs and all that something. So, it's going to be interesting to see. He's either going to not be, obviously, 100%, or whether, it turns out that maybe he can't even play, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Tomas, so now I'm hearing hamstring on one leg, ankle on another leg, and then potentially some bruised ribs. I think that there's an opportunity there for our defense.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is that he's a real warrior. I don't think he's going to let them sit him down. You know, so he's going to come out there and try to play on what he's got. Now it's just a question of, how have those sacks come? If those sacks come from outside pressure or inside pressure?
Outside, mostly.
Yeah, outside mostly. So I'm thinking that this is going to be the time we're going to see Kikaha actually step it up, and we're going to see some outside sacks happen in this game. But don't downplay the fact that they do have players on that team. They have two running backs that can run the ball. And you got to keep your eye out on Golden Tate all the time. So, it's not like they don't have
they have tools and they have playmakers. The thing that I thought was interesting is that, we have Warford now. Right. And so their offensive line has been a little shaky. So I'm really curious to see how they're going to hold up. Because now, this is where I'm trying to go with this. I'm really confused. Miami won last week when I thought they would not win a game this year. And so as I look at our schedule, then, New England loses. It's like it's so hard to figure out what the Saints are right now. Yeah. And so I'm using the same logic with Detroit. I'm not sure what Detroit is. I'm not sure what the Saints are, really. I thought by now I would know. But based on what's happened with all the other teams, I still don't feel confident that I know what the Saints are right now. And I don't know what Detroit is.
When we come back and talk about Peterson, I'll tell you what the Saints are.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting to know when we can kind of come to a conclusion once you tell us what's up.
There you go. I'll have the final word.
We're kind of really seeing the effects of that NFL parity right now.
No.
I don't think anybody knows what they really have.
Absolutely. Well, here's some more interesting stuff. The Saints lost the last three games against Detroit, 23-24, 27-35, and 13-28. Drew Brees in the games we won obviously played well. In the games we lost, he didn't play so well. So I don't think anything I just said there would really make you or surprise you. When Drew Brees plays well, the Saints win. So we're sitting here in a situation where
what you're talking about are teams that the Saints didn't have the defense that they have this year. So that's a different story.
No, and that's the thing. I keep seeing and hearing people say, we need to get home field advantage back. I'm like, listen, the reason we don't have home field advantage is because the Saints haven't been that good. That dominating home field advantage comes from when the team's good and they make plays and the crowd gets wild.
Exactly.
Right now, the Saints are sixth in the NFL at +4 in a turnover ratio. The Lions are second in the league at +8. You're talking about two teams who haven't turned the ball over at all this year.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing that gets the crowd going when you get a turnover. You know, so we haven't had many in the last 3 years.
Well, now the defense is playing well, and hopefully some more of that will happen. And look, before we move on, Cam Newton is at it again. Can't tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
I never once offended anybody.
Tell the truth.
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
You can't handle the truth.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win football games.
Tell the truth.
It's funny to hear a female.
Tell the truth.
It's funny.
Tell the truth.
And I'm a loser.
And the truth shall set you free.
But listen, let me turn the page for a second, guys. It's a sad situation that I feel like I should share with everyone. One of my good buddies that I made friends with, like, recently, Adrian Peterson. Y'all might know him. Yeah, but I broke bread with the man, had a sandwich with him in my encounter. You know, I'm wondering, though, hey, have we told that story since we started doing the show on
you
the
know,
radio?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, for those of you who don't know, when I was in New Orleans during the summer in August, I believe, I had a chance encounter. I was covering the Saints, came back from practice, walking to this little store, this little shop, to get a po' boy. And who's sitting there but Adrian Peterson? Ended up, it was just me and him and the guy working at the shop. Ended up talking to him for a few minutes. He's the nicest guy. But I have some bad news. He looks like he decided to move on to Arizona. The news breaks this week. We get a draft pick. He goes on to Arizona. Tomas, what do you think about this? I mean, I know you've been for it. You've talked about it.
Well, look, you know, I think it's a win-win. That's what I posted on my Twitter account. It's a win-win. He gets to go to a team that has no running back, so he's going to be the feature back, which is what he really needs. So you'll see if he gets the ball 20 times, see if he still has something in the tank or not. So it's a win for him. I think it's a win for us because our chemistry was all off because of Peterson. Now, I'm not saying that because he's a bad person, a good person. I'm just saying, look, you have Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram thinks he's going to be the man. Okay. Then all of a sudden you say, well, let's bring in Adrian Peterson. Well, Mark Ingram's thinking, well, what does that mean about me? Now, you can put all that perception about, oh, they liked each other and they were working together and everything. That's a crock of you-know-what. You know, these guys have an ego. Otherwise, they wouldn't be playing what they're playing. And I'm sure that there was an issue of chemistry. There's not enough touches for the ball. We're not a run team. So there's not enough touches for the ball for three guys. Now, you know, Peterson was picked up and signed before we drafted Kamara. Then we get Kamara, and of course, you know, Sean Payton's got a you-know-what for this guy. And it's understandable because he is the kind of guy that the Saints offense uses. Peterson was not.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you run a few games in real season time, and you see that what Kamara has. And, you know, he's the guy.
So, Heath, wouldn't it be nice if you had an employer that was just like, hey, man, yeah, I got a couple of mil here. You know, thanks for coming in. So, Peterson comes in, plays four games, and hardly plays in those games anyway.
Yeah.
And he's walking out with a pocket load of money from the Saints.
Yeah. This is becoming a regular thing with the Saints.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
You know, yeah, because, you know, it's bad enough when you look at that in terms of games, you know, 5 weeks, but only four games for the Saints. But when you break that down to snaps and you start dividing that money up, crazy, you know.
I would like to get that kind of money for my production, you know, where it's like, you know, man, I'm going to show up at work about 10:30. Then I'm going to go to lunch at about 11:45.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and still get paid. Man, I mean, that's a huge payday for a guy that really – As Tomas has said, and I think I want to express my opinion, but the problem is I think we all feel the same way, is he just did not fit the Saints offense. Because I do wonder, and now we'll find out in Arizona, what happens if you give the guy 15 carries? Does he still have spring in his step? He's not the old AP, but I still wonder if he still has something left, and I think it's going to be interesting to find out.
It's got to be more than 15. He's got to hit in the 20s. You know, he's got to be the feature back in the 20s. And I will tell you this. I know I heard a lot of people say, well, you know, he's going to show that he still has stuff in the tank. If you go back, and I saw this just today, the highlight of the run in Minnesota where he had however many 9 yards in that run, and everybody's like, ooh, ooh, ooh. I told you then, I'd repeat to you now, having watched the tape today, Unger pushed him forward for six of those yards. So that wasn't AP making those yards. That was Unger behind him pushing him forward. So, you know, God bless him. I think he can still be something.
Well,
he's,
I mean,
not the old AP, but, you know, we'll see. Give him the ball 20 times and see what happens.
I think you downplay it a little bit too much. Well, I mean, like any time when you get that kind of pile moving, my point is that I think Adrian Peterson, while he won't be the old back, I still, and I know this is, you and I disagree on this, is I still think he can be Hightower. I still think that he can be a serviceable running back, that if you give him enough carries, he could be productive. So it'll be interesting to see.
I disagree with you from the standpoint of the mental part of the game. Hightower was more than satisfied to sit on a bench and be on the ready if his name was called. And if not, he was more than happy to just be a cheerleader on the bench for Mark Ingram. Adrian Peterson was not.
No,
and so therefore, you're not comparing apples to apples. Adrian Peterson has a good situation now, like I said, going to Arizona, because Arizona has nobody. They cut Chris Johnson to make room for Adrian, and they have nobody else. So it's going to be Adrian Peterson all day.
I agree with you with the chemistry thing, because, and you saw it earlier, no matter how much they tried to downplay it, at the end of the day, the guy, whether he's still there or not, he still believes he is. So he's out there. He's upset, but he's not getting the carries. We have no idea what's going on in the locker room. So for the little tip of the iceberg that we saw when Adrian Peterson got upset during the Minnesota game when the camera was focused on him, we have no idea the conversations that he had with Sean Payton when Sean Payton is saying, hey, listen, your time will come, and Adrian Peterson's like, hey, man, my time is now, and I want the ball. And sooner or later, they're like, hey, we got to find somewhere for you to go.
Yeah. Well, I think if Arizona's smart, they're going to line him up in a deep power eye, and you're going to find out if he's got anything left. I'm betting he's going to be pedestrian at best. I don't think he's, you know.
Especially because Palmer's, you know, you're talking about the Detroit quarterback being racked up. Palmer has been hit 19 times. I just saw that stat today.
Yeah, and Palmer's an old guy anyway, man. He's a statue back there.
Yeah.
All right, so the next question, Heath. Now, listen, I understand Kamara's going to have a bigger role. He's developing.
Right.
He's developed at a good pace, so the Saints are going to use him. And Mark Ingram is still a very good ball player. But there is a need for a backup guy to come in and get 5, 6, 7 carries a game to kind of spell your starter.
Yep.
Now, is that going to be Kamara, or do you see somebody else who might come in? And I don't want to say a name yet because I don't want to get Tomas all excited. So how do you think the Saints are going to organize this or handle it logistically?
Yeah, well, I think Mark Ingram is going to go back to being the lead back, and Kamara is going to get probably even an increased share, but he's going to continue to play the same role. And the other guy is already there on the team, and his name is Edmonds. And he's going to show himself to be a very capable player. And, you know, I don't think we're going to be talking about this for long, because I think Edmonds is going to show he's got something.
All right, so now the debate starts, because I've always been fond of Daniel Lasco, and unless Tomas changed his mind, Tomas, where you sit on this?
Well, I think that you have to go with what – I'm going to use what you say, Dave. The coaches are there every day watching these players. And they made a decision that Edmonds was better than Lasco. Matter of fact, they made a decision that Edmonds and Victor were better than Lasco. So, you know, Lasco's out. Victor gets cut as well because they didn't have room for him. And so you have Edmonds in. And Edmonds has proven himself on special teams, you know, and he's a big guy. You know, there's a big difference. Ingram is like 5'10", and this guy's 6'2".
Right.
You know, so there's a difference in size, certainly a change of pace kind of guy. So I'm agreeing with Heath. I don't see them going out for anybody else. I see them sticking with Edmonds.
Here's my point. Now, I get it that you have Edmonds and he's on the team, but now it's a different role. Maybe, and I'm not saying I'm right, I'm just saying that maybe Edmonds is on the team because of the role he fills while Peterson was the backup running back. My question is going to be, does the team feel Edmonds is a better backup running back than Daniel Lasco?
Well, I think that that's been obvious. I mean, that's the reason they put Lasco, they cut him. Now they've got him back on the practice squad. So, but I think it was obvious that the coaches felt that there was a no-brainer, that Edmonds actually beat out Lasco during the preseason.
See, I don't know. You see, okay, here's my point. I don't see how you can deduct that, because, like, here's the thing. if you have Kamara, you have Ingram, you have Peterson, now you're not necessarily looking for the next best running back. You might be looking for a guy who's the next best special teams player, but he happens to play running back. That's my argument.
Now, yeah, but Lasko played on special teams, and he was one of those special team guys. So, you know, that's why I say I don't think that would hold up.
Right. You know, we'll see if that argument or the point that I'm making holds up, because sometime during the week here, very soon, we're going to start finding out who the Saints bring up and how they organize the roster now that Peterson's gone. Listen, we got to hit this break, but before we go, don't forget, hit us up on Twitter, SaintsBS, follow me, or the Graffiti Hotline, 701-901-1295. Join in on the fun. We're talking wall-to-wall Saints football. Listen, next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about all of the protests and how it's affecting ratings and attendance. BS and Beer Podcast, Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be
You're
right
listening
back.
To the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Sports Talk 97.7, Rustin and Monroe. Did I get it right this time, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. The BS and Beer Podcast crew. Yeah, so sometimes I talk with marbles in my mouth. I hope to, in let's say the next 20 years or so, be the next Buddy Deliberto. So I'm training for that.
Yeah.
There
so,
you go.
So to do that, it's all part of the training process. Something right. that I think we need to talk about is this situation that continues to get uglier and uglier every single day, it seems like, and that's the protest that the players are having. And now there's a battle going on. It's a battle between, I feel like the league would just prefer to not step on any toes. And they seem to have let the players, despite, I think, Tomas, you said you were telling me earlier about there are rules in place. But right now, listen, you could try not to step on toes all you want, but there's starting to be a noticeable decline in not only the attendance at games, but obviously on TV. And the outcry from the public is growing. And so now the league looks like they're trying to push back a little bit and trying to find a way to, I don't know, stop it? Tomas, I mean, what do you think the goal is here? What do you think that the league is trying to do?
Well, look, it all boils down to the same thing. It's called Benjamins.
Money, money, money.
Okay. That's it, brother. Look. When you have, let's put it where it is. Who is Jerry Jones? Jerry Jones is the business face of the NFL. He's the shark in the water for the NFL as far as business is concerned. When you don't sell out Jones Stadium for a game, you got a problem.
Jerry Land.
Okay. When the revenue is down because you're not selling all your jerseys and books and whatever the hell else they sell, the finger, you know, whatever it is that they're gonna sell, when all that revenue is going down. When the advertisers say, hey, you know what, I'm thinking we're going to cut back on what we're spending, then somebody's going to say, hold on a second, brother, we got a problem. So, you know, they can try to be as conforming as they want to be with whatever the position is of the players. At the end of the day, they have to realize that the position of the players is not going over well with the public. John Q. Public, who spends their money to get season tickets or game tickets or a jersey or a book or whatever it happens to be, they've fed up with the thing. And so that's the whole thing in a nutshell. I tell people this. I do a political talk show. When I'm doing sports, I don't talk politics, because that's not what I'm doing when I'm doing sports. When I'm watching football on the weekend, don't talk to me about the president, Congress, or anybody else. I'm not interested. I'm watching sports,
right,
trying to clear my head and enjoy life. You know, and I think that's the mistake that a lot of these players have made. They don't understand that that's what most people want. Most people just want the entertainment value.
Right.
I think they just picked the wrong stage to make their statement. But, you know, as of right now, there's a whole lot of brouhaha because the players union is going to come up with stuff. They're suing Jones for his statements. And the NFL is trying to make a statement themselves. You saw Goodell's letter that went out today to all the owners. So, you know, you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place now in the whole issue. They let it go too far, and, you know, no matter what they do at this point, it's not going to be a happy situation for everybody concerned.
No, I kind of feel like we're getting close to a tipping point. Heath, regardless of what side you stand on the protest situation, I can't help but feel the players don't quite understand where the money's coming from. Because here's the thing.
Exactly.
I get, like, you know, look, as a musician, or if you've watched any of these movies where these musicians are like, I don't want to sell out, man. I'm not selling out, you know. And then all of a sudden it's like, look, don't sell out. And you play in little bars and dives and stuff like that. Sell out, write that, you know, that popcorn music, and you get on the radio and you make some money. The players seem to have lost sight. And again, I want to reiterate, regardless of which side you take in this situation, the one fact that is indisputable is the fact that the fans are not happy with this, and that's who pays all the bills.
Exactly. You know, the players' union wants to be considered an equal to the owners when it comes to running the league. They want to be more involved. They want more rights. They want more revenue, certainly. However, they have to realize that they also share the responsibility of making the product marketable. They are literally doing something that is damaging, you know, like Tomas said, the income, the sales, the brand, that brings them the ridiculous amounts of money that they're privileged to have made, you know. And so the bottom line is it's the wrong forum. You know what I mean? Keep the brand good. Keep the money coming in. Keep making your big dollars. And then when you're off the field, go take your money, start a foundation, an outreach program, a liaison between a neighborhood and the police, whatever it is you feel like you need to do to actually try to make a difference. Because what you're doing right now is making no difference anyway.
Right. I think the
That's just the bottom line. It's having no substantial impact on anything positive by people, you know, by them kneeling down during the thing. It's not going to change anything. It's not like all of a sudden everybody around the country is going to go, oh, man, what have we been thinking? You know, we really need to get things straightened out because these guys are kneeling down. You know, we never thought of this before.
Right.
You know,
I think at this point the message is getting lost.
It's definitely getting lost.
And now that, like, you have all these fans and the season ticket holders and the people who pay the bills, the message is not even there anymore. They're just angry. One, and this is statistically speaking, things that I've read, is the fans are generally just upset, mostly it seems like, that they look, I just want to come watch a ball game.
Right.
And I'm getting drug into something that I really don't want to be a part of.
Yep.
Now, Tomas, at what point do you think the players, do you think they concede and say, listen, do you think they realize at some point, if they haven't already, that, man, I'm messing with my own money right now?
No, they won't put that together. But here's what they will put together. The networks have already said they're no longer going to televise any of the pregame goings on, which includes the national anthem. So their kneeling is no longer going to be seen by anybody other than whoever's in the stadium.
Right.
And so I think they'll get that part because they understand TV, you know. But as far as, like Heath was saying, they don't understand that the brand is directly connected to them. You know, they think that they're still getting the short end of the stick. They don't get enough money. The owners are getting all the money, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's not really what it's supposed to be about. This whole thing goes back to Kaepernick. It's supposed to be about police brutality. That's what it's supposed to be. But that message got lost a long time ago. I mean, a long time ago. Most of those people who are taking a knee don't even know why. You know, most of them will tell you it's because they hate Trump. Okay, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous at that point. And like Heath said, and I've said that before on my own show, you know, I've said, look, if they really want to make an impact, all these guys are multimillionaires from their contracts. If they really want to make an impact, here you go. Get yourself together and say, we're going to form a new foundation. Anytime any black person feels that they've been suffered from police brutality, we're going to pay for their lawyer. We're going to make sure that they get the right end of the verdict. Okay, now you've made a positive impact. Put together your foundation and get involved in the communities in which they play ball, where you have high crime in the black communities. Now, there's so many ways that they can have a positive effect, but they've decided to take this course, and I'm sorry, but this course has not sat well with the American people. So, you know, I don't think they're going to get that point. I think that they're going to get the point that it's not on TV, and they're going to get the point that, hey, you know what, we're losing money. So We'll see.
One of the things that is actually in the collective bargaining agreement is that the NFL is required to do everything they can to maximize the income. And that was obviously negotiated by the Players Association so that the players, like, it didn't leave the NFL with an arbitrary opportunity to say, well, no, that's fine. Like, they are committed and obligated to go out there and find new ways of, we talk about overseas. Right?
It's called fiduciary responsibility.
That's correct.
And that's in every corporation.
That's right.
You know, CEOs, they all have a responsibility to maximize the profit. And you know, and that's the part that they don't really understand. They want to be a bigger part of the business and all this stuff, but they don't really understand the business aspects of it.
Well, and go back to this. You're talking about, for the most part, you're talking about young, immature people. You know, you're talking about people who are 21 to 25 years of age.
I think that's lost on a lot of people, Tomas, that these are just kids out here, most of them.
Yeah. You know, you look at it this way. They're 21 to 25. They've been coddled all through school. Now they get to this place that they are. They're making more money than they know what to do with. And because they don't have the background, they're actually throwing it away. They don't know what to do with all that money. And so they don't get the bigger concepts of what's going on, of what they're doing. And they really need, you know, we talk about fiduciary responsibility. I have a responsibility, my fiduciary responsibility to my clients is to make sure and tell them, advise them, hey, this is what you need to do. This, you know, and this is the same thing that the NFL owners and the NFL teams have with the players. They have a responsibility with these players to say, hey, you got this big contract. But, and you know, they've been doing that. The NFL has put in new programs to help these young people come in into these big amounts of money to understand more about economics and more about how to handle their money. So, you know, they need to continue to do that. But one of the things, as I said earlier, you have to remember, these are not, you know, I'm 62 this month. These kids are not 62, okay? These kids are 22. And at 22, single, you know, it's like they were interviewing one of the receivers for the Dallas Cowboys. And they asked him, well, what's the difference between Romo and Dak Prescott? And I said, well, you know, Romo's got a family. You know, practice is over. He's heading home. You know, Dak, he got nothing. Practice is over. Hey, guys, we're hanging out. We're going to go drink. We're going to. So, you see, that right there tells you where their priorities are. You know, and so they have a lack of understanding, even when it comes to cultural issues, social issues. You know, they get led down the wrong path.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, listen, it's Sports Talk 97.7. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have our picks. You don't want to miss it, because, like, I miss every single pick that I make anyway, right?
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Welcome back. Sports Talk 97.7. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero here. Listen, the Saints are 2-2. We're playing Detroit. Stafford's a little banged up, man. I think we have an opportunity. The game's at home. If the Saints are the team that has played the last 2 weeks, I think we have a chance to listen, I read somewhere. Where was that? I think the last eight times. I could be wrong. The last eight times we've tried to get over 500, we failed. It's seven. We're 0-7 our last seven attempts to get over 500. And if think back how many times we've fought our way back to 500.
Yeah.
Only to fall apart at the end. And I wonder if that's not like one of those things where you just like you use up all your energy and mental energy to try to come back. And then all of a sudden, once you get there, then you just don't have any more gas left in the tank.
Yeah. I don't know, but they're coming off of a bye week, so they shouldn't have too many excuses here.
Well, you know, that's what we said about Belichick and the New England Patriots, that they had those extra days to prepare for us. So let's see if our coaching staff can put to use the extra time we had and the injury to Stafford to put a win together. What you think?
Well, I think so. You know, I think it Detroit's a good team, but – I think the Saints had a good chance of winning the game, even if Stafford is, his normal self 100%. If he's banged up a little bit, I like my odds even better. If he winds up not playing, it's not even going to really be a game probably.
Right.
But, you know.
I read an article, and it had Detroit's backup quarter. It was ranking all the teams' backup quarterback situation, and they're one of the worst in the league. So I tell you what, though, let's get to our pick'ems. This is how everybody makes their money, by picking the opposite of what I do.
There you go.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, this is where the money is made, Heath and Tomas. And what I'm talking about is when the folks listening to the show, whether it's in Ruston and Monroe or it's on the internet, on the podcast, people making money just picking the opposite of what I do. So let's get started. First, we'll go with Heath. Green Bay at Minnesota is off the board right now, but you got to make a pick.
Yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay here.
Okay, Tomas.
Likewise, Green Bay Packers.
Well, I'm going with Green Bay too, man. And boy, I tell you what, I watched that game against Dallas. That was crazy. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, as much.
He's a man.
I'm not a big fan of his, so I always try to play it off and just downplay his. But, man, it's hard. That was a great game. Okay. All right. So, moving on. Let's go. San Francisco at Washington. San Francisco getting 11 points.
Man, another 11-point spread. I'm still going to take Washington and give up the 11.
Okay.
I'm going to buck the trend again. I think I'm going to take the 11 and go with San Francisco.
I'm just going to split the difference and go San Francisco. So now I got a high spread on each side. let's see. Chicago at Baltimore. Chicago gets 7.5 points.
I don't think it's going to be enough. I'm going to take Baltimore at home.
Yeah, same here. I think Chicago is a team that will be ready next year with a new quarterback.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the Baltimore as well.
Man, Baltimore's been so up and down, but especially with the new young quarterback, I think I'm going to go ahead and take Baltimore also. Cleveland at Houston. Heath, Cleveland is getting 11 points.
Not enough, I don't believe. I'm going to take Houston at home.
Oh. Well, now, based on Deshaun Watson's 35-point fantasy football score last week,
right?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go with Houston and 11 points given up. Now, that's three games now that I've given up 11 points on, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take Houston. I got crushed by my fantasy team, got crushed by Deshaun Watson, and it was sickening. Okay, now we got the Los Angeles Rams at Jacksonville, and the Rams are getting 2.5 points. Heath?
You know what? I think it's going to be the first time this year. I'm going to take Jacksonville in this game.
Okay.
And as much as I like Jacksonville, I still think they have a quarterback issue. And the Rams, you know, they've got Wade Phillips on defense. So I'm going to take the Rams and a 2.5.
All right. I'm going with Jacksonville. They've been playing good ball. Fournette's been playing well. I want to see him win. Now, here's a crazy one. Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Pittsburgh getting 4.5 points after getting smoked by Jacksonville. Heath.
Yeah. Yeah. Kansas City all the way.
Well, Kansas City is my team, and so I have to take them. But I'm telling you what, Pittsburgh is almost ready for the fork in them. So, you know, we'll see. But they have nobody behind Roethlisberger, so it's him for the rest of the season come hella high water. So,
all right.
But Kansas City.
Chargers at Oakland. And if I didn't mention it, I'm taking Kansas City as well. Heath, okay. Chargers at Oakland. Off the board.
It looks good. Chances for Carr to play this week. I'm going to take Oakland at home.
If Carr is playing, I would take Oakland. But I'm not sure that he's going to play. And I think the Chargers finally broke their maiden, as we say here in the horse business. So I'm going to take the Chargers in this game and see what happens.
All right. I'm going Chargers as well. Giants at Denver, 13 points the Giants are getting. They haven't won a game yet.
Yeah, not enough. I'm going to take Denver at home.
Yep. The Giants are going to be like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that year, 1-15. So I'm going to go Denver.
All right, it's clean sweep. I got Denver as well. Indianapolis at Tennessee, off the board. Heath.
I think Mariota's going to play. I'm going to take Tennessee at home.
As much as I don't really like Indianapolis, and as much as I like Mariota, I still was impressed with the quarterback that Indianapolis picked up from the New England Patriots. So I'm going to go and give it a chance. I'm going to go with Indianapolis.
I'm going to go Tennessee on this one. Now, let's move on to the NFC South, the real games that are being played in the NFL right now. Philadelphia at Carolina, 3.5 points for Philadelphia. Heath.
You know, this was a tough one. Philadelphia has been looking pretty good, but so has Carolina lately. Carolina's at home. I'm going to take Carolina.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I cannot take the bucktooth donkey. So I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
All right. I think I'm just, it's a toss-up for me, but, yeah, I'd rather pick Philadelphia than Carolina, so I'm going with Philadelphia. Miami at Atlanta, 12.5 points coming off a big win for Miami. Heath, do they have a shot?
No. No. They're going to get pooped out of the sphincter bowl there. Sphincter dome. Not enough.
Yep.
I'm going with Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. Atlanta had an extra week off, even though they don't have Julio. You know, or Sanu. I just can't go, even with 12.5, I just can't go with Miami. So I have to take the Falcons.
All right, yeah, I'm going to have to take the Falcons myself. Moving on, Tampa Bay at Arizona. Arizona getting 1 point, and they got a new running back who's supposed to be awesome.
Yeah.
Heath.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson, beast. And I'm going to take Arizona at home and lay the point against Tampa Bay. I just haven't been that impressed with what I'm seeing out of Tampa.
No, it's like I thought so much of them, and now it's in. Tomas?
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to have to go with Arizona and the new running back, beast mode, Peterson. So I'm going to go with Arizona.
Okay. So now the big game of the week, New Orleans and Detroit in New Orleans. Detroit's getting 5 points. The odds makers like our chances. Heath?
Yeah, I don't like Detroit's chances. I'm going to take the Saints and give up the 5.
Okay.
Yep, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to pick my boys to take hold of it. I'm going to predict that we get at least 3 sacks. In this game. At least 3.
I think we're going to keep the half dozen streak going.
There you go.
All right. I'm going to have to buck the trend. And I'm taking Detroit. I'm taking Detroit. First of all, because everything I pick is wrong. And second of all, I don't have confidence. We haven't been able to get over 500 in a long time. But I'm going to leave it open to see who's going to play quarterback. If I start getting more word that Stafford's not playing, then I'll ease back over to the Saints. But right now, I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to go with Detroit. I know it's not a popular pick. But anyway, hey, listen, Heath. We have to have our code word for the picks, man. I think
the code word for the day. Fiduciary.
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 Fiduciary. Yes. All right.
That's it.
All right. So I tell you what. Hey, we only had an hour today. No bonus coverage because no Saints game. So we do
the
hour.
Previous word.
That's right. That's right. Bonus. Well, we're not supposed to tell. You got it. For those who don't know,
blow torch.
You have to have. Man, you're just going to give a recap all in one day.
Yeah, go ahead.
You have to have the bonus words in order to win the money for the Pick'em contest. That's just to make sure that we're giving out that money to people who actually follow the show. Anyway.
It's our fiduciary responsibility.
It is our fiduciary responsibility. Hey, and thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate the support. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at SaintsBS. Love talking football with the fans out there. Or call the hotline, 701-901-1295. All right. Well, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to Sports Talk 97.7 and the BS and Beer podcast crew. We will talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.